Hello and welcome aboard this week's edition of Game Train. I'm Callan.
And I'm Carl.
And we'll be talking all things gaming. First up though, a big thank you to everyone that has liked, shared, and listened to our podcast. We really appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. That was awesome. Good start.
Yes, great reception from the people. And we've taken your suggestions on board, and it's more of an express train this week. We're speeding everything up and getting through everything a lot quicker because time.
Correct.
Yes.
I've got a big old timer right here that I'm staring at. I feel like one of those presidents making a speech or TED Talks.
Yes.
Not really, but it's fine.
So, straight into it, news. Nintendo Switch has now been out for several weeks, and it's going great guns. As of last week, it had sold 1.5 million, units.
Yes.
Which is massive. Like, that's a huge console launch, really.
That's a lot better than the Wii U.
It is. Everyone is saying how much of a big success it has been, and it's still, being, with Zelda being, one of the highest, launch games of all time.
Yep. And surpassing Mario 64, which is a big move. Big move for those guys. I'm so happy for that, though. We needed a good Zelda game, a real good one, top-tier game.
Could you imagine if they'd only sold, 200,000 units worldwide in 3 weeks or whatever? That would have been terrible.
Oh, man. Oh, fingers crossed for Mass Effect's numbers, but we'll talk about that next time.
Yes. Also, it looks like there's a rumor going around that a Pokemon game may be in development for the Switch.
For the Switch?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Game Freak have advertised for someone to work on a Switch game. Game Freak being the developer of Pokemon. So that the rumor spread up from there. So watch the space.
That could be cool.
That could be really cool.
Could that be their first proper console game? Sort of.
I'm hoping it will be a standalone and not just a remake of Sun and Moon onto the Switch, which was another rumor going around. Pokemon Star was a rumor.
Of course.
Now, it could be still Pokemon Star and just high-res version of Sun and Moon on the Switch, but, we'll see what happens over the next few months.
Yeah. I mean, with, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I wouldn't be too surprised. Shadow of War got leaked, then quickly announced.
Yes.
Soon after our last podcast, which is interesting for those of you who played Shadow of Mordor. It's the second one. I loved it. It was a very random surprise. I don't think I've ever played a Lord of the Rings game. What was it? It was like Arkham City feeling, big adventure, open world. It was gorgeous, and that system with all the Nemesis system, with all the orcs, and you had your rival, and you meet him again, and it was really new for me and exciting. So,
and other news from Xbox, its new subscription service with games. Explain that.
Yes, I don't know the official name, something like Xbox Game Pass. They announced, which kind of works, I guess, like a Netflix, as most of us would understand. You pay like $10, $11, or $12 a month or something, and you can play any of the games on the service, which is hundreds of games already apparently. And I think the tricky thing is, like Netflix, they're going to keep adding games every now and then, but they're also going to take some away, and the ones they take away, they're going to offer members to buy them for keeps for 20% off or something is their model they're working with. I'm not quite sure. Is this the future of games?
Well, I think my issue with it is, I keep buying games and not playing them. So I'm building up this nice pile of shame, which now I've been smashing through of late, and I'm actually, fighting this constant pile of shame of games. For people that don't know, a pile of shame is just a big pile of games that you mean to get through, and they sit there and taunt you, and you feel guilty every time you look at it, but you keep buying new games and playing other games rather than that pile that you feel like you should be getting through. Now, with a service that now has 100 games on it for you to access straight away, I feel like that is just a library of shame now.
Yes, true that. Especially if you have some sort of stats and you can click on your friends and be like, look at which ones he's played.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to go for it, but we'll see. It's another $12 to fork out every month for...
I know, but if there's a $12 game that you want to buy, the old school that you want to just give it a shot or something, and I don't know, and you see it in that library, why not just buy it there for that month and have that game and hundreds of others? I guess it's like, it's too much. It's too much. There is already too many bloody good games to play. You know, I kind of like the budget drip feeding sort of thing, like saying, oh, I'd love to try Nier right now, or, you know, I'd love to try all these other games right now, but they're all $100 each, so I can't.
Yeah, which is true.
It's almost good.
For people that have just bought a system, right, and they don't have any games, you get that, and then you suddenly have got a library of 100 games you can choose from. That's awesome. That's really cool for those people. But if you've gone through and you've played all the games that you've wanted along the way, just from buying them as they've come out or whatever, it's not going to be as valuable to you, because you're like, oh, I've played everything I want to play in that list, really. I don't really have interest in playing all these other random games. And you still got to download the game on the system. You can't just stream it straight from the thing. You still got to download the 20, 30 gigabytes. Now, with Australia's internet sort of service, that's a bit harder for us, because downloading 20 plus gigabytes every time you want to play something kind of sucks.
That's true, especially with that kind of... I mean, like Netflix, you watch a movie for like 30 seconds and you go like, I'm not into it. And then you stop it and click another one and off you go. You're watching already. So I guess it's not quite like that. You really have to invest the whole afternoon to even start playing that game.
Oh, on some people's internet connections, maybe even a whole day before you even start. Then you boot up the thing and you go, you know what? I don't like this.
Yep.
But yeah, look, we'll see how it goes when it comes out. Like, it's interesting. It is, different. So we'll see how it goes.
That's true. And last couple of bits of news. I don't know if anyone out there was into it, but, I loved it. But Dirt Rally was awesome. And they just released it for VR, like a whole sort of section for it. If you have PSVR, which is insanely awesome. I love it. And it's... I haven't tried it yet myself, but apparently it's one of the better driving games on there. And they just announced Dirt 4, which I'm really excited about, because I really love those games, like, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
That's cool.
Moving right along. Next stop on the game train.
Next stop. All right. So what we've been playing still.
Yes.
Horizon Zero Dawn and Zelda Breath of the Wild. These two games I'm still slogging through, and I feel like I'm still not near the end of any of them. I'm about 40 hours into Horizon now, and I'm probably mid-30s into Zelda now. And I still... Zelda, I feel like I'm about a quarter of the way through, while Horizon, probably about halfway, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm feeling that I'm... I don't even know how many hours I've spent on either. I've lost all concept of time on both these games. As soon as I jump in... It's like
there's a great thing in Horizon where you can go stats and it tells you your time.
There is that thing. Yeah.
Sorry, when you save your game, not in the stats, when you save your game. Yes.
Ah, of course. Mm. Well, yeah, I feel like I think I'm just about halfway. I don't know, but there's a lot in and Zelda, geez, I'm just chipping away at the surface at that, I think.
Looking at those two games and the extra time now I've put in from our first initial discussion of, I feel like Horizon is more of the same that we sort of spoke about. Sort of running around in your traditional open world sense, doing little tasks here and there, picking up things.
Taking more and more photos.
Of course.
And so on.
Yes, I've actually gone back into the photo editor and tried to take a couple of serious photos.
Ooh, I'd like to see some of those. Can we have them on the Facebook?
Well, what I did record though the other day was actually some video as well of me fighting one of the bosses in the game, which I'm also going to upload onto Facebook as well. Because it was really cool, and the ending's actually really cool how it ends. And that's why I'm going to put it up there, because it was pretty
Facebook,
epic.
Our Facebook, for those of you who don't know, is just facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast.
Yeah, so jump on there, jump on board, give us a like, give it a share, try and get more people on board. You know, we appreciate everyone that's doing that. But yeah, look, I'm still feeling, Horizon, really, my opinion of it hasn't changed at all since that first review. I'm still, that first look at it, I'm still really enjoying it and how the game's going. Explored most of the map now. I actually feel it's a little smaller than I originally thought it was going to be in terms of map size.
Yeah, the distances on the map of the little icons are a lot closer than you think, as opposed to in Zelda where when you do it for a while, you're like, oh yeah, there's that little dot just above my head. And then you zoom out and you're walking for 20 minutes and you're halfway there. It's just like, oh, wait, that's massive.
Yeah, I feel like, I think Zelda has got the bigger world than Horizon does. Now, I still haven't gone online and checked comparisons because I'm still exploring Zelda's map and I didn't want to spoil that for myself.
Yep.
So I'm still staying away from that. But once I do see all that, I will go and check the official sizes versus games like The Witcher, which have had the massive open worlds, and Skyrim.
One thing about Horizon that I has changed my thoughts towards it since the last time we were here is, and this was brought to my attention by a good friend, Lucas Pingle from Drop Bear Gaming.
Hello, Lucas.
Another podcast out there. He's a good mate of mine, and he sent me an article, which I'd never even knew about, which is all the real-world locations in Horizon Zero Dawn and like the comparison photos and how the whole thing's like really, really accurate and close to like being based in the Midwest in the US. And like, I mean, it's not like an accurate map or anything, but these sort of locations and like specific buildings and things like that, like they've got all the angles sort of matching. I'll put a link on our Facebook so you guys can check it out as well, but it was just really impressive to see like old statues and old buildings, or even like brand new beautiful buildings, and then seeing the old like withered down version of it in Horizon, and then actually going to each of those places on the article and just being like, wow, that's, you know, such a cool vision. So I really enjoyed sort of feeling more like that was connected to my reality, and it kind of just sucked me in even more.
That's pretty cool. I remember seeing something similar to that a long time ago. I remember playing Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood and Revelations, which were all set around Italy. And I remember when I went to Italy, and then going to some of these same cities and going, hang on a second, I feel like I've been here before. And then I found an article online showing all the Assassin's Creed's locations to the cities in real life.
Nice.
And it was really interesting to see like how much detail they'd gone to it. And I felt like, you know, going there in person that I'd seen all this stuff before, which I had in the game. But they'd gotten the detail down that well that it just felt so familiar being there in person, which was just a bizarre feeling.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, epic deja vu.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, man, but it's cool when they do things like that. Like, especially with Horizon, because I didn't actually think Horizon was built off any real world locations.
Me neither.
At all. Like, I know it's set in the future on Earth. But, you know, when you see, like, a stadium, like the old stadium and things like that, I'm just like, oh, you know, it's just
even
a
the mountain ranges and, like, certain parts of the actual just nature itself was like based off real photographs and real research they did, and it was just so impressive. Like, whole horizons, you know, pun not intended, were like just completely identical, just with different trees or in a different time, or now it's a desert and it used to be lush, or I don't know. It was so interesting for me.
That's really cool. Like, well, speaking of the desert, how have you felt going from the snowy area that we were pretty much in at the start of the game, now that we've sort of moved out into the main bit, where you go into like a different sort of environment, like desert and jungle? How are you finding that compared to where you started? Are you liking that more or less?
I'm loving it just because I can finally take 1,000 new photos.
Yes. All, okay.
To be honest. and I was more, I don't know what it is, but I was more excited about finding out that there were even more outfits. And I was like, oh, good. I'm so tired of seeing her in the same outfit in all my photos. And now I dress her different depending on where she's standing. I really got to play more of that game, but taking those photos are just so fun.
See,
I need to play Pokemon Snap again.
I like getting out of the snowy areas and that, but then when I got into like the desert area, I was a little underwhelmed in a way. When I sort of passed through there into more of a jungle environment, then I was loving it again. I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess you can never really, especially a game that's so visually stunning, it's always hard to make desert consistently beautiful right after leaving like giant gorgeous mountains with like, you know, bubbling brooks and and forestry and greenery and flowers and all this different flora and fauna running around your legs as you're moving, and like, and then you go to this flat brown thing. Like, how good can it look? I mean, you know, they have some gorgeous cliffs and mountains in the distance and some cool bits where the sun shines through, but soon as it passes that 7 o'clock mark and it's nighttime for another hour and a half.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that's the other thing that actually gets to me a little, is that I prefer playing the game in the day, like in terms of the game when the sun's up in the game, than not, because it's just so much easier to see. Like, I was trying to climb this building at one stage in nighttime in the game. I couldn't see inside the building properly, and I was like jumping all over the place trying to grab onto things. It was just an absolute mess. But it would have been it would have been nice, like Zelda Wii or other games, where you can fast forward the time by going to a campfire. Just give that option so I can continually run around during the daytime without it going nighttime, because really all it is just an annoyance when you're trying to do certain things.
Yeah, well, even like, and I get the HDR lighting and they want that real darkness and the real like awesome little splashes of light, but they've already got all these comparisons with like the Tomb Raider games. How about give us a torch, you know?
Yeah, just a torch. Or even have
that
your,
would be gorgeous.
Or have your fire arrows light up the area when they're just sitting on your boat.
See, that could have made for such gorgeous photos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. Yeah, okay. Zelda, how are you finding that? Like, have you put much more time in?
Yeah, I've put a lot more time into Zelda. I'm loving it. I think the main thing I feel about Zelda is like, and I was getting this a lot from Nintendo itself, is like, I feel like it respects gamers. I feel like it is respectful to gamers. Like, there's no hand-holding. There's so much of discoveries to make. And not just, like, exploring the map, but just seeing what works with what. Like, you know, things like rolling a boulder down the hill and where it goes, or chopping a tree down and all that. But, like, so many things. Like, there was a bit, you must have done this by now, where you had to take, you know, you light the blue flames all along the way up to the crazy person's house or whatever, and you have to take like a stick, right, and you got to light the fire on this torch. There's all these like different lanterns all the way along a path, and you got to light each of them up, and so you're lighting them on the way. And then I reached one where there was this big thing across my path, and I couldn't get over it unless I climbed it, and if I climbed it, then I had to put my fire away, and I had no arrows left, so I couldn't even shoot an arrow over to the next one. And so I ended up having to pick up a spear. I did it all by mistake. I lit the spear, you know, on fire, and then I tried to throw the spear at the thing, but it missed, which I was quite upset about. But then I found out that the spear fell near the lantern and was still burning. So I climbed over that thing in the way, you know, and picked up my little torch and used the burning spear that I already threw with my own fire to light up my new torch, and then light up the next one. Like, it was just brilliant. There's so much of that kind of thing.
Do you know what I did?
All the time. What'd you do?
I just walked around.
Wow, that's a big, big way.
Sorry, there were still torch things that I was just lighting them along to carry my flame along in case it ran out. I just walked around. I didn't have to go javelin throwing across the river or anything.
Really, there was a big old pole. And on the left of that pole was a river, and on the right was a vertical cliff.
Well, I managed to do it without any javelin throwing shenanigans. So.
Oh, you know what? I feel for you. You want to walk around circles? You know, enjoy that. have a wonderful Zelda experience. No, hey, that's cool.
It was great. It was easy. I was like, this is fun. No, but
okay.
Yeah. You've now progressed as well, like I have, and found the first sort of main dungeon, you could call it, rather than the little tiny ones that are out there.
Yes, yeah. One of those big divine beasts.
I was happy that they put a bigger dungeon in the game, because I was getting a little sad that I wouldn't see something like that. And when I got to there and found it, that was probably when I went, yes, this is great.
And I'm loving this formula. If there's only four or five of those, and still like a bajillion little ones with like one or two puzzles each, that's such a nice formula. It's so fresh and different.
Yep.
Yet still has that same element, that Zelda feeling.
Exactly. Like, it's not as big, like the Divine Beast one I've done that you've done is not as big as the old Zelda temples. Like, some of them were quite big. Now, maybe some of the ones later on are a bit bigger than this one. I'm not sure. But it was still a good 7-8 puzzles chained together that all work together to solve the main puzzle of the temple. And that was cool, rather than just the little one puzzle, two puzzle parts that were in the little shrines. So it was nice to see there was sort of like a bigger sort of, you know, dungeon that you could do. Now, okay, probably won't get as big as what were in the other ones, but we get probably more puzzles all up.
Yeah, and with all those tiny little ones, like, drip-feeding you, but they kind of teach you how to use different elements of the game as well, so it's always kind of exciting.
Like doing things like putting your ice block on a waterfall.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I'm not happy about is the constant rain. Now, when it rains, you can't climb a cliff, and so many puzzles require you to climb cliffs. And when it's raining and you're sitting there mid-puzzle out in the world and you have to legit just wait for that rain to stop, that's annoying.
Yeah. See, when we're talking about this infamous, you just walked around in an extremely exhilarating big circle puzzle with the fire I was talking about earlier, same thing happened. It started raining, and so it was like impossible to do this thing. So I just stood there. I left my control down there, went and made a coffee, came back and had a little drink while watching the screen.
Yep. It just would have been nice, like, to have, like the Ocarina, a device that you can fast forward time or weather so you can get it sunny again. That's all really I've got to say on Zelda at the moment. As I said, it's still going to be a while before I do finish it. I'm just taking my time. I'm enjoying
it. That's true.
I'm really enjoying this game. So, the feature game of the week.
You can't fight the friction!
Cocaine is on the move. Targets are pulling out!
Or you fight from the shadows.
Yes, let's move right on to that gem of a game.
Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. So this is an open world game set in Bolivia, where you're part of a squad of four people tasked to go take down a cartel there. So it's sort of like more of a realistic game. You're sent in by the American government. Take out this like a ghost squad. You're not supposed to be seen, you know, you were never there kind of thing. You're supposed to take down dismantle this whole cartel, one piece of the cartel at a time.
Yeah, and you do it with friends. The idea is it's you're either, if you're one player, you've got these three guys with you all the time, either like bots, AI, or you're supposed to get on there with a whole bunch of friends and you all sort of strategize together and tackle all these missions in different ways. You have drones that you can throw up that can spot everybody on the map so you can really plan out a mission, or sometimes they throw in a jammer so that you have to strategize it differently and all go in different angles, and, you know, all about communication. And it's not really supposed to be a game you play as, it's not like a one man jump in there and kill everyone sort of type situation.
That's right.
Which I guess Tom Clancy does a lot of.
This was like, open world game, big co-op game. Sounds great.
Sure does.
It was fun. It was fun. Look, we played it together because we had to talk about this game, and we chose to talk about this game, and I'd started out quite fun. You know, we jumped on motorcycles and we're racing each other down cliffs and mountains, and we're jumping in helicopters and jumping out of helicopters and skydiving and all this.
The first act was fun,
and it's like, this is cool. And then Carl's like, where's the other two guys? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, there's supposed to be four guys. I'm like, oh, there's only two of us. So with co-op, it can be up to four players, but if you're only playing two player, you don't get the other two guys in the squad as coming along with you as bots. Or if you're playing with three player, you don't get one as a bot. So when you play single player, there are four guys always. And this makes the game dramatically easier rather than just two. Because the enemy then has four targets to shoot at rather than two.
Yes. And it changes up the whole sort of... I feel like the game was designed for four. A lot of these things have these, like...
Yeah.
All these different sort of points where you can all stand and all kind of shoot at the same time. And there's a lot of groups of three or groups of four people standing around where if you kill just the one, they automatically spot you because you have to not be seen in certain missions. And if you kill all four of them, you're still sort of counted as unseen and you can move on, but those just become physically impossible.
Yeah, well, we did missions like that. We got through it, but it was a pain in the ass. And I just feel even if it had given us two computer players there with us, it would have just freed up a lot more, especially with being targeted by the enemy. Like, if it's just two of you, the whole enemy's going to come after both of you. Then, if you've split up, which you generally do split up because... you want to sort of recon the whole area, and then come in from different directions and take out people,
Of course,
you might get killed. And now, normally, when you're playing by yourself with the three computer counterparts, one will run over and resus you back to life. You're allowed one resus per sort of little skirmish, really.
Fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all well and good, but if there's only two of you and you split up over the opposite sides of the base, you're not going to get to the other guy if he's been killed, because everyone then is then just chasing you. So you've got pretty much a small army chasing you around by yourself. Like, it just makes it so much more difficult.
I mean, and I, you know, it sounds like here we're just whinging like a get good situation. Like, oh, you know, if the game's not hard enough for you, just get better at it and give it time. But I wish that was the only reason that you couldn't revive someone else. There was a time where I was down and I thought, okay, Callan, you're just there. You are 10 meters away. Come and revive me. There's no enemies yet. They're moving towards me, but they won't get here for another 30 seconds. Come get me. And Callan said, no, I can't, because there's a portaloo in my way and like an esky. Now, Callan's playing this character who's a special ops agent who's been training for over 20 years to be one of the greatest military weapons in the world. And he couldn't get over this tackle box to save me. And I paused it, ejected it, and returned it within the next 40 minutes. Because I was not having that. You can't jump.
There is no jump button in this game. And you got stuck between three rocks at another time. You couldn't get out. Yeah, you were stuck between three rocks.
They were tiny. They weren't even up to my knees. There were three of them in like a triangle. I kind of just slipped in there and went, oh, oops. Let me just glide on out of here.
Now, I get stuck between shit all the time in Horizon, right? It happens because, you know, you're trying to jump over cliffs or you're falling down places. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. You're exploring, running around.
Knocked in, whatever.
Yeah. Well, generally, you can just keep jumping and you'll eventually somehow almost half glitch yourself out. And this, you can't do that. You just sort of walk around in a circle and you sort of shrug your shoulders.
That you can climb. You can climb a lot of things, but it has to say it. The button has to come up and it says, press A to climb.
Yep.
And it doesn't always come up.
I mean, that's one of the big downfalls in that, like, you can just randomly get stuck in things. And then another thing is, when you do die, instead of putting you right back next to the mission that you just died at, you know, not only does it reset the entire mission. So generally in missions, there are a lot that I've done. And this is with multiplayer and single player, because I have played a few hours of it solo as well to see what it was like. You do die. There's no halfway points in a lot of these missions. Even though you've cleared out the entire base and you've hacked a computer and guys are coming. Normally at that point, maybe where you hacked a computer in another game, there's a little like autosave, right? At the halfway point. No, you're doing the last part of the mission. There's one guy left. You die. You got to go start the whole thing again. The last 25 minutes you did of reconning and taking down every guy in the base, you got to do again. But on top of that, you also get put back another 300 meters from the mission, randomly, like in a random spot in the bush. And you're like, oh, cool. So not only do I have to do that entire mission of killing every guy again, I still got to get back there. And that's when Carl got stuck between the three rocks, trying to navigate around this little cliff that the game put him on the other side of. Yeah.
It was a colorful situation.
It's not fun. That is not fun gameplay. Like, put us right just outside the little town, or give a halfway auto save point. Well, I'm not asking for the game to be made like super easy or anything like that. But just like, when you get to that first objective where you're hacking a computer, we're just using this as an example, where you hack this little computer, have the little auto save there. Because the next bit is when a whole, like, you know, three, four carloads of dudes are rolling up. Right? And it's just not fun dying at that point after you've cleared and moved through an entire base and you've got to go back and do that whole bit again. It's not fun. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. That's true. And the thing about the respawning, a lot of these missions are almost designed around good vantage points. Like, you know, there's a couple of high cliffs where you can kind of just see over the whole map and the little village or, you know, the mansion and plan your moves. And it's like, when you die, you think they'd put you sort of near that vantage point, but instead they put you at the foot of the cliff below the building. And now, like, this is not even about whinging about difficulty and, you know, being, you know, someone that's just saying, oh, I wish the game was easier to suit my style. It's not even about that, because it's not difficult. It just takes 45 minutes to walk around to get back to that vantage point. It's just walking. There's no challenge. You're like, I know Kalen enjoys it because that's what he did for that fire mission in Zelda.
Hey, he loves himself a good one. It worked. You can go friggin' spear across rivers and stuff. I'll just take the scenic route. I don't mind.
Well, you know, if I could spear across rivers in this, I would do it all day. I would. So, but it sounds like we hated it. But, you know, to be honest, when I played this and I read a lot of sort of opinions and reviews about it saying that one player is not good, don't go into it doing that. Definitely do it with some friends. But I was having a ball until Callan came along. And that's not against Callan personally.
Was that the bit when I jumped out of the helicopter early and you went crashing into the cliff in the helicopter?
I was zooming. Okay, I was going to snipe some dudes for us. I was clearing the way. I wasn't making tracks right there.
You told me go parachute out. So I went, all right, I'll go.
We were going to parachute together like a cool crew of parachuters. Jump in and kill these people like a boss. And then I zoomed out and I was in the passenger seat of a like plummeting helicopter heading straight for my doom. Thanks for the communication.
It's all right. What about all those times I'd cross the road and the slowest moving car in the area would come cruising along, slowest car in Bolivia, and, you know, old granny, you know, going to do a shopping on a Sunday, she's coming along, she taps me in the ankle with her slow-moving car, and I insta-die.
Stop, look, and listen, brother.
I know, look both ways and cross the road, but yeah, that was another thing. But I did play single player for a bit, for a few hours, cleared a region in the game. Now, the whole sync shot, where this is a big thing in the game, where you can mark certain targets and then you can get your computer-controlled buddies to go and sync kill, where everyone just shoots at the same time. So you can take down groups of people at the same time. Well, I started doing that, and then I'm like, actually, I can do it this way. So I'd send up my drone, and I'd mark every target in the base, right? So everything's highlighted. And then I'd just sit there, and I'll just put my little like control pointer over the little targets that have appeared on the screen. So I could do this while looking at the ground, pretty much, or into a wall.
Yeah.
And I'd go sync. My guys would go in position. I'd hit A. They'd die. Then I'd select the next three. Sync. Hit the button. They'd die. I cleared a whole base by standing behind a rock. That's not fun.
I mean, I'm not sure about your game style of what I'm hearing today, about these walking around giant mountains with fire and chilling on your couch, think-shotting.
It's a fun game, and I think, like, in essence, it is a fun game. I think if you had three friends that you were playing with...
Bits.
Yeah. When we actually worked as a team and stopped trying to, you know, stuff each other around, it worked well. And I could imagine if you had, you know, three people playing this with you on the one system, like, online all together, it would be a lot of fun. But because we're playing as a pair, and I feel the missions are designed around it, you kind of need four people out there to do the missions well.
Yeah, that's it. I feel like that as well. And I could just imagine the kind of fun you could have with four friends and all having jobs and, you know, like, having those pointers and having, you can mark pointer number one, pointer number two, and say, you know, you get one, you get two, you go there, I'll meet you when you're up there, and let me know when to do my sniper thing, and I'll cover you, you run there. It would just be awesome. And to be fair, we didn't get to try it with four people, like four humans.
Yeah.
So, you know, that could be this whole other level again, which I'll have to find out when I rebuy the game.
So, yeah, well, that's enough on Wildlands. Look,
yes.
You know, if you get a chance, have a look at it. But,
for free.
Try and make sure you got a few people to play with, because that's the best way you'll experience that. So we also asked for the first time this week, adding new segments into our podcast, trying to evolve this as we go. And we wanted to get the community involved with us here. So we said, hey, ask some questions, you know, throw us some questions.
Yep. Send them in, message us on facebook.com/gametrainpodcast if you want.
And yeah, well, Nick sent us a message this week. Sent us a comment.
Yes.
Asking us a question.
A double-ended question. I like that.
Double-ended question. Yeah, there you go.
So we got two already.
Exactly. That's great. You know, off to a great start. So his first question was, best game in your humble opinions of 2016?
Boom. Big question. Look at that.
Wow. Wow. Yes. Thanks, Nick. All right. So, Carl, what was yours? 2016.
Me, right? Yeah. Oh, okay. Best game? No Man's Sky. I'm kidding. Calm down, everybody.
I played that
calm
for
down.
40 minutes and never touched it again.
I played it for an embarrassing amount of time, hoping that magic would happen.
Yeah.
But, wow. Okay.
I meant to go back to it. I just never have.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, just on that note, just before I say the best one, someone said once, you know, about, and they were saying it about books, you know, and they said the amount of amazing literature in the world that there is to read, it just doesn't even remotely compare to your lifetime at all. So it was someone about, you know, there was this discussion, I don't even remember where I heard it or saw it or read it or whatever, but it just, the thing stuck with me, and someone was saying, you know, like, to read a good book, you got to get, you know, get through those first 5 or 10 chapters, and this other person said, like, if this book doesn't have me in 5 chapters, I throw it against the wall and just move right along, because I don't want to spend one single second of my tiny lifespan compared to this incredible world of amazing literature reading a book I don't enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly the same with games, you know. I feel like there is that section of it that you can get through, but like, geez, if it's No Man's Sky, you know, don't do that.
Look, I'm gonna go back and try it again, because it's been updated since then, so I want to have another look at it, because I feel like,
all right,
I feel like 45 minutes wasn't enough.
Oh, okay. No, you, yep, I can't wait to hear this. But that's good. Anyway, my game of 2016, big year of games. And there were some awesome ones, you know, like I really loved Uncharted 4. That was really cool, but it was nothing that stuck with me afterwards. You know, it was gorgeous to look at. Voice acting was incredible, but I think my game of the year was Inside by Playdead, the guys that did Limbo before that. It was just like an indie game, a side scroller, and it was just all, every moment of it, every single puzzle was new and different. You weren't doing the same thing several times. Like in a game, you usually learn a mechanic and then you use it throughout to, you know, solve similar things, and then you learn another. This is like every single puzzle you came across forced you to use your mind in different ways. And then, I mean, it was just like, it's kind of cartoony. There's no words, there's no speaking, and yet it was eerie and it was scary and it was exciting and it was like tense. It was the most tense moments I've experienced in games in a long time, and this is all in less than 4 hours. And like the story, just the ending, oh my god, it was just like, I can't say anything about it, you know, beyond that you walk from left to right and there's amazing puzzles without really spoiling the experience. But if you have, you know, $16 and a spare 4 hours, I implore you to make this happen, just to see what games can do with such a little canvas. The thing is gorgeous, all of it, the story, the look. I think that's my game of the year for 2016. I think it was Inside, very close to Firewatch,
mm-hmm.
Very similar sort of review, but Inside for me.
I sort of struggled with this a little, because I'd probably say Overwatch, that and Dark Souls,
yeah.
That and Dark Souls 3 for mine were my two standouts.
Yeah, nice.
I love Dark Souls 3. It was an amazing game. Like, just, no, that was really, really cool to play through that game. Like, just the level design alone was just fantastic.
And that was your first Dark Souls experience too, hey?
Yes. That's right. I'd played number one for 10 minutes, but this is my first time that I sat down to actually go from start to end on one. So, yeah, and I'm really happy I did. It was really, really cool. But I still think Overwatch just pips it, and just a brand new, fresh IP. it was so much fun. Like, I spent hours and hours and hours on this game, and I had much fun playing this with people. Like, you know, we'd get groups of six together.
I loved it.
And all the characters were cool. Like, each character felt fun. There wasn't one character in the game that I didn't really like playing, bar maybe Bastion, but everyone hates Bastion, so whatever.
Starter character.
It was still fun to be him and just gun down everyone. You knew everyone was swearing in the opposition's team.
Yes. Why not?
But, you know, like, it was a really, really fun game. The game I played most during the year was the World of Warcraft expansion, but I don't count that as my game of the year because World of Warcraft is like cocaine, and that's just addictive as hell. Like, it was so addictive to get back into that again.
yep.
I played that the most throughout the year, but it still wasn't my game of the year. I just felt there was better games than that out there. And both Overwatch and Dark Souls were awesome.
Yeah. Nice. Those were awesome. I had a good time with Overwatch too.
Nick's second question. Backing up from his game of the year of 2016, he asks, what genre will take lead for 2017? Easy, open world. It'll be something...
Open world.
Open world.
Yeah.
Easily will take this year. Either be Horizon, Zelda...
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Red Dead Redemption 2, if that comes out. It'll be one of those games that wins Game of the Year. Yeah. Like, you can already call it right now. It's...
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Red Dead, that's meant to be out in October, I think. They've already... given us a release.
Yeah, it still could be delayed. We don't fully 100% know.
I mean, that
Rockstar
is true.
Has history of delaying games, so...
Yes.
That may...
Of releasing when they're ready.
Yeah, so I don't know, but if that comes out, it'll be between, I reckon, that and Zelda. Like, there'll be just two juggernauts going head-to-head.
Yeah, I mean, already with Horizon Zero Dawn and even... You know, Wildlands, like all these games that were, and that Nier, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah. And
that new one that just came out, that's open world as well. Like, and they're all just getting nines and tens and being reviewed amazingly with these just big, huge maps. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that's an easy one.
Yeah.
It's the year of open world.
Unless someone just drops just something massive towards the end of the year. Like, but then even Mario Odyssey is supposed to be like open world, so who knows? I don't know.
Exactly, but like, I mean, if Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out this year, which I'm hoping it does, Rockstar are hands down the undisputed champions of the genre as well. Like, and any time they release something, they take it to a new level.
Cool. All right, so thank you for your question, Nick. So people, please send in your questions, and we will we'll answer them on the podcast.
Bam. All right, let's move on. We're getting...
All right, our other new segment. We've got another new segment. So much new going on.
Look at us growing.
I know, right?
Leaps and bounds.
All right. We have the lame and hype train. This is where we give something that we don't like a lame train and something that we're super excited about a hype train. We get aboard the hype train, we get off the lame train.
Boom.
Pretty much. So let's kick off with getting off these lame trains. I spoke on the last podcast about getting the Switch and getting Zelda, putting the game in, and pretty much kicking off straight away. When we got Wildlands, the install time was ridiculous. Carl messages me and goes, I've got Wildlands. I'm like, I'm at 30% install. An hour later, Carl's like, I'm at 90%. I'm just like, this is a joke. Like, I was sitting there on the couch just waiting. Like, for that amount of time for a game to install, and you download your day one patch and off you go. Like, it is just getting to the stage of just stupid of how long things are taking to install into these systems.
Yeah, and that was a quick day for me.
Like, that took so long. That, no joke, it was probably, I reckon, half an hour plus. Like, I went...
How about that?
I went downstairs, like, what were you at? You were at 98%.
Yeah, 98, that last 2%.
And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go downstairs to the shop and get a sandwich. So I went downstairs, bought a sandwich, came back up, ate the sandwich... And I'm like, what are you at? He's like 98%.
Lame train for me. Now, this one's scary. This one's very scary. And it's the fact and the possibility of losing my save on Zelda. That's my lame train.
Yes.
Because you can't move or copy saves. You can't put them on a cloud. You can't even save it onto your cartridge like you used to be able to back in the day. It saves on your Switch and it can't move anywhere from there, even though they're so generous and they let you have this micro SD port. They don't even have their own special one like the Sony Vita does, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome, but all you can put on there is like a bunch of pictures, and I mean, you can put your games on there, but
at least you'll be able to save all your pretty pictures.
I mean, that's true, but Zelda is massive, and like a lot of heart and a lot of time and connection goes into playing those games. And if I, you know, bump my Switch or drop it or something, or I don't know, something, or it just is faulty, or I have to hand it in because I need to repair something, or I scratch the screen or something, I can't just take the game out with the save, and I can't buy a new Switch and put it on there, or I can't lend, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of bummed out about that. I hope they fix it with a software thing or something. I hope it's not just a, hey guys, you know, a year and a half later we've made this new Switch, which is even better.
Switch XL.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm sure they will, but I hope when that happens, I'm offered the opportunity to buy that if I want it and take my saves with me. This is so strange.
Well, what Nintendo should do is really update the Switch through a firmware update that then allows save data to be written to an SD card that you can put into your Switch, so then you can take your saves with you.
Well, exactly. I hope that happens. Right now, I'm a little bit scared. I'm glad it's all just a solid state. So bumping it, moving it, and all that is not so much of an issue. But that's my lame charm. A bit worried, a bit scared.
Fair enough, fair enough. So on to the hype train.
Yes.
This is when we can talk about something to finish on that we're excited about.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm excited about Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5. I'm really, really excited about this. Like, Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 were two of my favorite RPGs back in the day. I haven't played them for well over 10 years each. Like, ever since I finished Kingdom Hearts 2, I reckon, back in... what year was it? Was it 06 it came out? I haven't played it since then, since I finished it. So I'm super excited to be able to sit down and play through these games again. Plus, the rest of the collection that I never got to play and extra bits of story and all that on one disc, like, I'm super excited about that. That's what I'm really hyped about this week, because that comes out.
Nice.
It comes out next week, so super excited.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, that's going to be wicked fun. I can't wait just to see, like, all the extra little bits. You know, I'm lost in the story. Too far gone for me. But I just like seeing all the cameos and what else they come up with and how they integrate those things. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating.
And your hype train?
My hype train, there's a big old Mass Effect with a X through it here. So,
oh. oh, yes.
Now, that was on the hype train. Now it's on the nerve train. So, moving along from that. Besides Red Dead Redemption 2, which is probably going to be my hype train for the rest of the year.
Mate, you still got to pull out a hype train every 2 weeks. Sorry, but...
Oh, it's coming. So, you know, I had Mass Effect here, crossed it out. But, you know, it's a kind of a guilty pleasure, but I'm actually really excited for the Crash Bandicoot remakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw a bit of gameplay, and the charm is not quite the same, but, like, it looks really smooth and clean and still funny, quirky, and, like, I just want to play Crash Bandicoot again.
Fair enough.
And have it, I don't know, I just saw those and I thought, I'm strangely, extremely excited for this, like, too much. Bam!
Bam!
Look at that.
Well, look at that, that's another episode done, everyone, but thank you so much to everyone that's listened again. Remember, like and share, help us spread the word of Game Train, get more people on board.
Yes, please do.
We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with, well, our thoughts on Mass Effect Andromeda, which is coming out this week. Massive game.
In 2 days.
But there's been a bit of controversy around the animation in the game. Some people are not happy with it. We'll give all our thoughts and feelings on that in 2 weeks' time. But remember, write in questions. I will answer it on next time's Game Train. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, guys.